talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, time to do this.
I've never felt so equipped to do something in my entire life. Let's go, let's do this.
All right, I'm going. All right, I'm going.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Imagine, Mr. Speaker, a world without balloons. How can we make sure that the injustice of there being no helium for comedians to get that high-pitched voice that we all hold near and dear to our hearts. Imagine a world without balloons.
And now,
what the f*** is happening right now?
Our feature presentation.
That's actually an excellent question. I don't have the answer to that.
No one does.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Bean.
How was your weekend?
It was good. Good Mother's Day for my mom, not me. Let me make that clear.
Wow, that's a rough way to start. Way to rub that in. Jesus.
What?
Way to rub that in. Oh, you had a Mother's Day. That's good. Oh, that's good for you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bean. No Mother's
Thanks,
Day
Lisa.
For you. So sorry. Well, Father's Day, I'll be all bereft. Does that help you?
It evens out. Okay. It actually helps me a lot. It makes me feel pretty good, to tell you the truth. How about you, Muggs?
You don't care how my weekend was, Bean.
I actually do.
You do? I was going to agree with Muggs.
Only because I remember it's been many years since I had a team in the playoffs, but I remember how every waking moment is exciting when your team is in the playoffs because you just can't wait for what's next, and that's what you're going through right now with your beloved Los Angeles Kings.
Not only that, but the Dodgers finally snapped their losing streak.
Oh, wow.
Well, they had lost 8 in a row, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, it's looking good for LA sports.
See, people miss out. People miss out on the agony, but they also miss out, you know, on the joy of if they don't have a team. If you don't have a team to root for,
yeah, that's me.
You miss out on all those ups and downs that you go through throughout the course of the year when you're doing well or not.
Sure, sure.
But especially when you're in the playoffs. It's great for the Dodgers and all, but when you're in the playoffs like the Kings are, I mean, that's just you got your sights on a Stanley Cup. That's big doings right there.
Yeah,
huge.
Pretty great.
Anyway, I got a great show today. We'll tell you about that in a moment. First, though, I want to start with the story of Etta Mae Lopez. She lives in the Sacramento area, and she knew she needed to quit smoking. She decided it was time. She had tried on her own too many times. She was out of ideas. You know, they say it's about the toughest thing a person does, to try to quit smoking. It's so addictive, right?
Yes.
And many, many people have tried and failed. She wanted to go to rehab for it, but like most people, couldn't afford that. So she came up with the next best plan, Lisa. She decided she'd figure out a way to go to jail.
Oh, no. Come on.
Because you can't smoke in California jails anymore. And she said, look, it's not my first choice, but I need a couple of months in jail to break me of the smoking habit because I'll be forced to not smoke if I go to jail.
That is desperate. My God.
So the way she decided to do it was she was going to slap a police officer. So she drove down in front of the Sacramento police station and waited outside for a uniformed officer to leave. She said she waited so long, by the way, that she left, went and got some lunch, and then came back and waited some more. And eventually she saw the guy who turned out to be Sacramento County Sheriff's Deputy Matt Campoy, who told reporters that she appeared just as he was leaving the county jail in the 4 o'clock hour on Thursday. It was surreal, he said. I stepped to the left. She stepped to my left. I stepped to the right. She stepped to my right. I stepped to the left again, and suddenly she stepped into me and slapped my face. So he marched her inside where she slapped him again, by the way. And then
just for good measure.
And then he arrested her, and she got exactly what she wanted. She was sentenced to 63 days in jail for misdemeanor battery on a peace officer. And I don't know, in California state jails for that, I don't know how long she'll actually stay, but you can just picture them coming to her after like 10 days and going, I'm sorry, overcrowding, got to let you go. And she'll be like, no!
That's all to quit smoking, too. Right?
Yes.
That was the point of the whole...
Right.
That's the point of the story.
That's dedication.
Right. We actually covered that.
That's insane.
Yes. See, what she did, Beer Bug, is she decided to slap a police officer so that she'd be sent to jail so she could quit smoking. Yes. There's no ulterior motive here.
Ridiculous.
So you know what she should do when they let her out early is just smack the guy letting her out. back in she goes.
Oh, there
she
you go.
She could keep this up for a while.
As long as it takes, until the urge is finally gone.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't applaud her methods. Obviously, I'm never a fan of assault, but you have to give her credit for commitment.
Yes, and clearly having nothing else going on in her life.
Nothing else going on. Yeah, most people can't really step away from their lives for 2 months.
No. So.
But wait, Pierre, I got to understand. Why did she want to go into jail?
Because she wanted to quit smoking.
That's right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Crazy.
It is crazy. In fact, speaking of the Kings, Colin Hanks is going to be joining us today. He is the Los Angeles Kings' good luck charm. We talked to him every round of the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. We're going to do the same this year, and we're going to have him on at 7 o'clock this morning. Also, Jim Gaffigan, the very funny comedian.
Yes.
Who is the most fertile man in the world. He has 5 children, I think under like 9.
Really? Oh, my God.
And they live
God.
In a two-bedroom condo, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Don't know how that possibly works, but he has written a book called Dad is Fat that is very funny, so Jim's going to be joining us today. The Gregory brothers on the show today, Lisa May.
We love them.
They're immensely talented.
Yeah.
We're going to find out a little bit about how they do the magic that they do. If you don't recognize the name, they're the ones who take the people in the news and turn them into viral video hits. They just make everything into a great, great song. We've got your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 and backstage passes. Actually, these are tickets in the pit today that you'll be winning. As you know, the show is on Saturday, so you're running out of time. We're going to tell you the story next hour of a woman who weighs 230 pounds and hopes to double her weight.
She's one of those?
She's one of those. Yes.
Is she going for a record or?
Nope. She just realizes there's a lot of money to be made in having men watch you eat on the internet, and the fatter you get, the richer you get.
No, I didn't know that existed.
And that's the life she's chosen. And she's 23, by the way.
Oh, this the is life so she's chosen. Sad.
So we got all of that. And if you are keeping track, if you've got a lineup card at home, Kevin is out today. But to make up for that, Ralph is back.
Yay!
How about that? So the showbiz news the way it's supposed to be done. Coming up next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. But you still have the mustache. That's the important thing, right, Ralph?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, got to hang on to that mustache.
Definitely didn't lose that.
They did take my soul patch, though. I was a little bummed.
Oh, they made you cut that off?
Yeah, the Seth and the makeup people, they got together and said, looks a little too... A little too slick. A little too
contemporary.
A little too contemporary, a little too slick. This guy's no gunslinger. My character's sort of like a working cowboy, so they thought it'd look more traditional if they
took
it.
A little more home on the range is what you
soul
needed.
Patch off and just left the stash. So I'm just rocking the stash. The stash's a little lonely without the soul patch. they were a very happy couple for a long time.
Ralph was out at the end of last week filming a part in the new Seth MacFarlane movie. Yeah. When's that coming out, by the way?
Universal just announced while we were filming their release date is going to be Memorial Day weekend next year. So.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Yeah. That's great. Well, we missed you. Welcome back. Good
Thanks.
To see you. It's Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat now. What's going on?
Since it is Monday, as we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise, Iron Man 3, once again, for the second week in a row, number one at the box office, this time with $72.5 million.
Wow.
Which would be a second
weekend. Huge opening weekend for a first weekend.
Oh, my God. A lot of people must have gone back a second time.
I think so. Or maybe anyone who missed it the first weekend went this weekend. Although, Tony Stark did have a little competition by another mysterious rich dude. Jay Gatsby came in second. The Great Gatsby, in its debut, $51.1 million.
And that's way ahead of what anyone was expecting,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Big, big opening weekend for that. No small potatoes.
It's been a long time since I've seen a movie that has varied so wildly with reaction, too. You know, someone over here will say, man, I really, really enjoyed it. And someone over here said it was so bad I almost walked out.
That's Baz Luhrmann in a nutshell. His films have always been polarizing. From his Romeo and Juliet, I remember having furiously passionate arguments with people over Moulin Rouge, which is a film that I loved. And some people were like, what a bunch of garbage. It didn't make any sense. And they're singing with contemporary songs and they're dancing. It doesn't make any sense. So I think he's just one of those people who, if he strikes a chord in you, you dig it. And if not, you're sort of left scratching your head. Pain and Gain, third at the box office this weekend with $5 million. Then Peoples. Tyler Perry presents The Peoples. In its debut, $4.9 million. 42 was fifth. Oblivion. The Croods, The Big Wedding, Mud, and Oz, The Great and Powerful, with less than $1 million at number 10 at the box office. I thought it was so surprising. You never see that on one of these lists. Number 10 on the film on the top 10 list, makes around $800,000.
That's wow. Surprising.
Well, with those top two, you're sucking up most of the dollars, let's face it.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw Mud over the weekend.
I bet you did.
It was really good. I mean, I'm not saying anything that the critics haven't already said.
No, I say this is Matthew McConaughey's greatest performance.
Loved it. Yeah. Loved it.
So I'm in the restaurant last night eating sushi with the wife and the kid.
Did you?
And in walks in this this teenage-looking boy with a beanie on and a shock of bleached blonde hair and an oversized sweatshirt.
I don't like what
and
this
I
is
look
headed.
Up and I say, well, sure, like... this is the hottest woman in the world, Maxim magazine. Yeah, Miley Cyrus walked past me.
So in person, not airbrushed.
Not even airbrushed. I hope you guys had on the editor last week and gave him significant guff.
Oh, we certainly did.
He said we'd be so surprised how good she looks.
Well,
that's why I'm mentioning airbrushing.
I haven't seen the photos from Maxim magazine, but I saw her last night, and she looks like a less attractive Justin Bieber.
Yeah, we read him the riot act. I did tell him that number 8 on his list, Kate Upton's dog, was more attractive than his number 1 on his list. But yeah, it's inexplicable. It really, it'll never be explained.
Well,
to my satisfaction,
folks are saying that she is drowning her sorrows over a split with her fiance Liam Hemsworth with obsessive shopping. That's how she is soothing her troubled soul. Just buying stuff like a mad woman. She just brought herself a brand new Porsche, apparently. According to Star Magazine, another $60,000 on furniture and another $100,000 on jewelry and clothes.
Yikes.
In the past few weeks. You keep going, Miley. You keep going.
Go right through that cash.
You'll be selling Maxim magazine from a newsstand instead of being on the cover of it. And this is maybe my favorite showbiz story in a long, long time. Mike Tyson is getting his own animated TV series.
Oh, how about that?
Yep. It's going to be in the Adult Swim Network next season. Tyson will voice himself as a character who solves mysteries a la Scooby-Doo with the help from a foul-mouthed pigeon sidekick and, of course, his magical face tattoo.
I'm going to need closed caption.
Mike Tyson Mysteries will air next season, so we'll be able to check that out. I can't wait. That sounds like someone has a big sense of humor. I don't know if Mike's going to get it or not, but...
I think he does.
I'm all aboard.
I do.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You
my
broke
back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or well, what portion?
Spinal.
Yeah, spinal. Solve that mystery, Mike. O.J. Simpson's back in court. Apparently killed somebody. No, I'm kidding. He is trying to have the court overturn his conviction in 2008 that sent him to jail for 33 years. OJ, who's now 65 years old, by the way, is going to ask the court for a writ of habeas corpus. Now, for those of you in the audience who aren't lawyers, that means they need to present evidence that would convict him. He claims that he had such bad representation that his conviction should be overturned and a new trial should be ordered.
That's what everyone in prison thinks, by the
way. Yes, they all want a new trial, which most of the time they say, get back in there. Get back in the cell.
Why is he waiting? How long has he been in jail this time? Like 6 or 7 years?
2008.
Yeah, why is he waiting so long to make this appeal request? Usually, that starts the day you're convicted.
I don't know. He's the juice.
That's he is the juice.
And Littler just keeps getting better.
In, out, where?
So far, he's still in. But she's itching to get out.
Yeah.
Because the folks at Betty Ford, you may have heard by now, won't let her have her Adderall. In fact, at Betty Ford, they don't let anyone over the age of 15 have Adderall because of its addictive qualities. And they don't believe that Lindsay has ADHD, which she claims that she has.
Mm. She's the only one who believes she has ADHD.
Yes. She told Piers Morgan that in a TV interview that she did, but no one else can really find any reason for it. Anyway, they're not letting her have it. She is not having any of it. And so she wants to walk. And if she does, the minute she crosses that threshold, Judge James Dabney could send her back to jail since she was ordered to stay on premise at a rehab and not leave for 90 days.
You can't blame her for being upset. I mean, when you go to rehab, you want to be able to take drugs.
Well, yes, that should be implied, right? Just by
obviously.
Going, you should get the drugs you need?
Right.
Ridiculous. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lena Dunham from Girls, actress, writer, creator of that TV show, 27 years old today. Speaking of HBO, did you guys catch Family Tree last night?
I recorded it. I can't wait to see it. Was it good?
Very, very entertaining show. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of it. Robert Pattinson is 27 years old today. Rob Pattinson. Darius Rucker. You remember him from Hootie?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's 47 years old.
Big time country music star now,
That's
Ralph, you know?
They tell me. TV host Stephen Colbert is 49 years old. Dennis Rodman turns 52. Writer and TV creator Alan Ball, the man who gave us Six Feet Under and True Blood, 56 years old today. Stevie Wonder turns 63, and actor Harvey Keitel turns 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Oh, no.
Lack of energy and enthusiasm in the end of that song. I gotta tell you, I just feel
tired.
Like
Leave them alone.
Quitters is what they are. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Up next, we're gonna meet a woman who weighs 230 now, would like to double her weight.
Well, sure, who wouldn't?
Ladies, how's that make you feel? You don't run into that story very often. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Monday morning means TMZ.com. Our friend Harvey Levin joins us on the phone. What's up, Harvey?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Harvey.
Good.
Doing fine. Ralph Garman is in here with us today because Kevin is out. So, Harvey.
Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hello, Harvey Levin. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Let's start with Farrah Abraham because if this story is true, it's one of the most hilarious things you've ever published. What up?
Well, not just hilarious, but scientifically miraculous.
True.
So, Farrah Abraham had a pregnancy scare and thought she might have been pregnant because of her tete-a-tete with James Dean and in the now famous video. So she was at a drugstore buying a pregnancy test, and if it were true, two things. One, if you've seen the video,
and we have.
It seems scientifically impossible for that to happen.
It's not how that works, right, Harvey?
It's not how that works. And number two, we made a joke in our newsroom that it turns out that Max doesn't have to worry after all with any of his dates.
Oh, jeez.
It was just a joke.
But, Harvey, let me ask you. I believe she's a lying whore who cannot be trusted on any level.
Yes.
Now, don't you think...
That said...
Desperate for attention and feeling that maybe her fame might wane for a moment, she knew you guys were going to be following her, so she went out to a drugstore and picked up that test just for this very same reason.
Yeah, I mean, look. I mean, part of it is just funny. But... here's the thing, guys. She has over 1 million Twitter followers now. And, I mean, she is making money. She made in the high six figures for this video. She's getting endorsements, actually.
For what?
And, well, some weight loss thing, which is ridiculous because, first of all, I didn't know that's the way you lose weight. And secondly, secondly, she didn't really need to lose weight, so I don't understand it. But she's, you know, a name. And this is another... Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton story, it seems.
I heard she was talking to Preparation H about being a spokesperson
for that group. That would be dead on. The bullseye.
Yes. Some Tux medicated pads to soothe.
After a rough day with James Dean.
But Harvey, don't you think if she's really fierce, she's pregnant, she sends out a lackey or something to pick up that test instead of going to the drugstore herself?
I mean, look, there are times when we just have fun. And it was so obvious that she wanted to do this. But I just find it so interesting that that people are fascinated by her. And she's making a lot of money. This chick would, if she was lucky, she would have worked at Walmart. She was lucky.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's another one of these Kim Kardashian stories.
Nope, you're absolutely right. Farrah Abraham, by the way, knows how pregnancy works. That's how she got famous in the first place,
that's
remember.
True.
So. Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's move on to train wreck number two. Every week, I think we're finally at the end of the Lindsay Lohan saga, and every week there's a new twist.
I told you guys last week that this Betty Ford thing was not going to work out well.
Yes, you certainly did. Yeah, it's just crazy to me that here she is in a place where we shouldn't be hearing a word out of her, yet she's still in the headlines every single day. Well, is she gonna quit because of the Adderall thing? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is gonna blow up. I think it's going to blow up in a huge way. She made it really clear from the get-go that she would not go to any rehab facility, like she has a lot of bargaining power here, without her Adderall, which she's been taking for years. She says she has ADHD, but this is a drug that's really abused by a lot of people for weight control, especially celebrities. And she went to Betty Ford. Betty Ford evaluated her. Last week they cut her off because we found out they literally will allow no one over the age of 15 to use Adderall because they think there are better drugs that aren't as addictive. And she is going crazy. She said she wants out. We know she's gotten out before. They can't necessarily hold her against her will. They can't hold her against her will. And if she leaves, this is going to be a mess. And I keep saying, okay, this time she's going to jail, but I always say it, so I'm not going to say it again.
However, she certainly is subject to be arrested if she leaves because she will be in violation of the direct court order, which says you have to go to a state-approved rehab and stay for 90 days.
I believe that if she leaves, she has to go to jail. I don't see how the judge has a choice.
But, here. Harvey, if she goes to jail, they probably will give her Adderall there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you remember when Paris Hilton was in jail, like 6 years ago, and she wasn't able to take her medication. I don't remember whether it was Adderall or what, and she was literally going crazy in the jail, and the sheriff said, give her medicine.
Yeah.
So my guess is she'll get it, but she doesn't want to be in jail either. Lindsay just wants a lot.
She does. And number one on her list is she wants to be able to use the drugs that she wants when she's in rehab. That's her number one thing is let me smoke, let me use Adderall. If she gets away with this, next she's going to say, how about a little cocaine?
Well, guys, yeah, I was going to say not necessarily all the drugs she wants.
Yeah. But the important ones.
Did I tell you guys, I mean, I thought this was a great line. You read the Piers Morgan interview where she said she had only done, I don't remember if we talked about it, but one of the guys in my office when she said that she's only done drugs 4 to 5 times, one of the guys in my office said, if you don't stop, does that just count as one?
Exactly. Weeks count as one time. All right. Great stuff. Keep us posted. HarveyLevin, TMZ.com. Don't miss TMZ live at 4 p.m. on Fox and then throughout the day, the regular good old-fashioned TMZ. You're the best, Harvey. We'll talk to you soon, friend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Is that of Monsters and Men? Is that who we're just listening to right now?
Shh. Yes, it is.
They're one of the bands.
My hammock on the ship.
Oh, sorry. Your favorite part. They're one of the bands playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. We got pit tickets and backstage passes you can win to see that band along with Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, Imagine Dragons, so much more. Those tickets on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph, you know about all things sexy time. Tell me about the feeders. Tell me about that community.
Well, there are a certain percentage of both men and women who find obese members of the opposite sex attractive. It's primarily a male fetish. They like large women, BBWs as they're known, big, beautiful women. And some of them have an extreme case of this paraphilia where they want the woman bigger and bigger and bigger. And some of them get erotic pleasure out of actually causing that. So they feed their women and they get a sexual or sensual release from feeding the person as well because they know they're making them larger and larger and larger as they spoon pitchforks of spaghetti onto their plate.
Yeah.
Well, not only is a 23-year-old Tammy Jung a Los Angeles fetish model, but her boyfriend, Johan Uberman, who is 28, seems to love her. Helps her out by pouring milkshakes down her throat using a beer bong like device
now
at one point.
Talking.
By the way.
she also
has a website called sexysignaturebbw.com where you can, for a fee, you can pay to be a member and watch her eat and watch, you know, videos of her in little bikinis and things like that. So let's meet Tammy. I think you're all going to find her deeply attractive.
While many women in their 20s watch what they eat, 23-year-old Tammy Jung works tirelessly to put on weight. Tammy from West Hollywood, California is a gainer, and she's actively trying to become as fat as possible.
You want one of these?
I weigh myself every morning to see how much I'm going to eat throughout the day, how much I need to take in, making sure I didn't lose any weight, and I weigh myself at night to see the work that I did and be proud of myself.
So she's the opposite of every other human on Earth, where she's upset if she jumps on the scale and she's a couple pounds down.
I don't think that ever happens to her.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen accidentally.
How big a fear is that really on her part that she's lost some weight during the day while she's getting milkshakes blown down her gullet?
Since she's been covered by the media, by the way, she is averaging 49 pounds every 6 months, and she hopes to keep going for the next couple of years to get to her goal weight, which is somewhere in the 400s.
Beer Mug is so jealous.
He is.
She's although better than I am at it.
Beer mug's right behind her, though. Let's find out a little bit about what she eats, shall we?
Currently, Tammy weighs 16 and a half stone, but with the help of her boyfriend, Johan, she hopes to more than double her weight.
229.5. That's not so good. Make me 8 waffles, cottage cheese and cream cheese, bacon, chocolate milk, syrup, maybe some donuts, a cookie, a chocolate bar. Yeah, that should be good.
Now, Beer Mug had that this morning, by the way.
Her boyfriend, Johan, Ralph, will he get sexual pleasure out of preparing all of that food? Is that part of the fantasy? Is that he's actually the one who's making the food that's making her so fat?
Yes, the feeder gets off on making his beloved fatter. That's part of the attraction. I mean, he doesn't get any sort of sexual release from it, but it's an exciting, titillating experience for them.
This is like, it's like foreplay,
yeah,
and then
right.
And then the sex is actually feeding it to her, right?
Right.
Despite her tender years, Tammy's obsession with getting bigger has already dramatically altered her appearance.
A long time ago, I used to be very insecure. It was never good enough. I was always fat, always thought myself as fat, until I hit that goal weight, about, you know, 180 to 200, where I just woke up in the morning and just felt the best I've ever felt in my whole life.
Now, it's so fascinating. She's only 23 years old, but when you see these pictures of her from what I assume is 4 or 5 years ago when she was in high school and she looked like she was a cheerleader, she looked fantastic. I mean, she looked like a regular, normal, healthy girl. She didn't even look fat at all. But she must have had some sort of issues where she felt like she was never as thin as she wanted to be. And it sounds to me like she got to a point where she gained enough weight that she just said, now I'm not going back. It's just too hard to lose the weight. I'm going to own it and go in the other direction.
It seems like there's a slingshot effect with her obsession with her weight. She was obsessed about being thin, and then she just flipped the switch, and now she's obsessed about being fat.
Yeah, and she gets upset with herself now if she's not gaining enough quick enough.
So she's not happy with herself because she wasn't thin enough, and now she's not fat enough.
And she's very pretty, too, by the way, which is, you know,
not all for long.
If she were ugly, I wouldn't care that she's fat. But I hate to see a pretty girl taken out of circulation by this. You know what I'm saying?
Although, you know, I'm sorry, if you're a BBW fan, that is the ultimate. If you can find a pretty girl who's also huge, that's the golden ring right there.
That's Tammy.
Tammy's eating exploits have gained her an army of admirers who watch her gorge on fatty foods in videos which she makes and posts online.
Hi, it's Sexy Signature, and today I'm going to be playing with my doughy, big, plump belly.
So that's one of the things they do is they just jiggle that and rub that. And
watch my doughy belly. Doughy belly on the side stage.
She told the Huffington Post, by the way, I start the day with a huge breakfast of waffles, cream cheese, bacon, and sausage. Then I head to McDonald's for a few burgers in the afternoon. Mm. I can snack on cheese all day. A couple of blocks of cheese is no problem. Then for dinner, I'll have pizzas or Mexican food. At the end of the day, I make a weight gain shake from heavy whipped cream and a whole tub of ice cream, which Johan feeds me through a funnel. The funnel forces me to drink the shake even when I'm full after a day of eating. So she's almost like a competitive athlete where she's just looking for that incentive just to, you know, to run that extra mile or whatever it is she needs to do to get where she wants to be.
You don't get to the top bean without working hard, okay?
Apparently
she's got the eye of the tiger. She's got the stomach of the tiger.
I get a lot of different requests from fans. People have told me I've done the best videos that they've ever seen.
However, not everyone agrees with Tammy's lifestyle. Her best friend, Samantha, worries for her health.
When Tammy told me she was doing it on purpose, I kind of freaked out and got very upset and scared for, I want her to be able to be a hero for a long time.
Now it's getting all sad, though. We're supposed to be having fun here.
Just eating, just hearing what she likes to eat makes me tired. It seems like just an exhausting way to live.
It's not something you'd be able to do more than once. I mean, you might be able to force yourself to do it once, but could you ever have the stomach to wake up tomorrow, Ralph, and eat the same thing again?
No, like I said, I'm just tired just hearing about it.
You'd feel miserable, right?
Yeah.
And Tammy's doctor has concerns of his own.
She is causing her life to be shorter. She has taken the risk of dying early.
However, Tammy remains unrepentant.
After seeing the doctor, it's not going to change my goal. I still want to hit 250. I still want to hit 300. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm sacrificing my youth. I feel like I'm only enhancing my life.
And Tammy has supersized dreams for the future.
My career ambition is to become as popular as possible, and I hope I just continue to make lots and lots of money like I'm doing.
Despite the risks involved, Tammy is determined to make it big.
233.5. I gained weight today. Today was a good day.
You gained 5 pounds.
Yeah. Mwah.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go, the happy couple.
Well, at least she's stupid, so that helps. She'll be fat and stupid at the end of the day.
Fat girl's fat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday morning. Our NHL Stanley Cup correspondent, Colin Hanks, joins us right after the top of the hour to talk about the LA Kings versus the San Jose Sharks and what that's going to look like. Colin will be here in a minute. He's our good luck charm, don't you know, Ralph?
He's going to take more credit. He's going to take more credit for the Kings' wins. Him and his freaking satin jacket.
I'm going to say he deserves the credit because he was there every step of the way last year when they won the cup, so we need him this year, too.
No, but he says since he bought his new satin jacket, his retro King satin jacket, they're unbeaten. So.
Right, because they had lost the first two before he bought the jacket. So we'll get an update on the jacket. So that's coming up. First, though, Ralph is back from a couple of days filming a movie in New Mexico. By the way, what was it like being reunited with your girlfriend, Charlize Theron?
Charlize and I did not work the same days this time. Yeah, she will be working with me in June when I go back to shoot some more scenes. She will be there then, so we will be reunited in June. So
the anticipation will just make it sweeter for her then.
Exactly.
She's probably thinking about you right now.
This time around, I worked with Seth, of course, who is starring in his first live-action leading role in a movie.
Does it look hilarious, Ralph?
Well, I was there when we did the table read, which, for those of you who aren't familiar, you sit down and they get a bunch of actors around the table and you read the entire script from beginning to end just to see what it sounds like and gives people an idea about it. And we were just rolling. It was so funny. And now to see it in action and to see it put up in front of the cameras just has been a blast. But I got a chance to work with Seth, as I mentioned, doing his first live action acting, in a leading role. And he's hilarious. Giovanni Ribisi, who's just a genius.
Great.
Sarah Silverman.
Oh, wow.
Sarah
awesome.
And I were laughing on the set, having a good time, making fun of you guys. That was good times. And Neil Patrick Harris.
Ah. Wow.
Who, by the way, I can't imagine you find a nicer guy in the entertainment business than that guy. What a nice man, and super talented and very funny. So I got to work with those guys for a couple days, and it was just a blast. And then Charlize will be added to the mix next month when I go back. So,
How much must you hate this job today, being back here with us?
Sure, lots. But that being said, there is a big difference about and a more satisfying experience being on the radio and doing a show solid for a couple hours and the excitement of that and being live versus sitting in your trailer. I mean, there was a moment I was sitting in my trailer for almost 2.5 hours before they needed me again. And you're in the middle of the desert in New Mexico with nothing going on and no cell service. You can't get a signal and no television, no nothing. I mean, it's only so many times you can read the paper before you start to lose your mind a little bit. So there's obviously some negatives and it's some pluses. So, but anyway, I'm glad to be back and I'm glad to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you. What's going on in the world of showbiz?
Well, it's Monday morning, so we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Iron Man 3, once again, number one in its second week. $72.5 million made it. The Great Gatsby, right behind it, with a little over $50 million in its debut, was number two. And then, as you can imagine, those two movies ate up most of the box office dollar. The rest of the top 10, not making nearly as much. Pain and Gain did $5 million, not bad. A little less than that was Tyler Perry's Peoples. In its debut, made $4.9 million, made it number four. Five was 42. Then Oblivion, The Croods, The Big Wedding, Mud, and Oz, The Great and Powerful. You know, the better Iron Man 3 does, the better for Robert Downey Jr. I was blown away by this Hollywood Reporter story. Now, I thought he was making around $50 million for the Iron Man 3 movie. Turns out that's what he pulled in for Avengers last year.
Ah.
For Iron Man 3, because he had what they call a revenue-sharing contract, the number for his salary, which is going up daily, he's going to be making around $80 million for his work in Iron Man 3.
Yay! My!
Is that insane?
It doesn't even matter after a certain point.
I guess you're just, your family, your kids are
your
set
kids,
for life.
Your kids.
Downey has announced his next film. It won't be a blockbuster. He's been pretty vocal about the fact he wants to take some time and do some smaller independent films and projects, and he is reuniting with his Iron Man director Jon Favreau on his latest film. It's an independent comedy called Chef, about a guy who loses his job as a chef and decides to start up a food truck franchise. He'll be part of an ensemble cast including Sofia Vergara, John Leguizamo, and Bobby Cannavale. So, good cast, and seems like it could be a funny concept. And, you know, those guys work well together, Favreau and Robert Downey Jr.
And for people who only know Robert Downey Jr. from the last few years of these sorts of summer blockbusters, he's a great actor. I mean, he was an Oscar-nominated actor 20 years ago, for instance, but he's done some remarkable performances
in
his career.
Even in the blockbusters, you can tell he's an amazing actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He humanizes those roles. TV news. Anybody watch Survivor Caramoan last night? See the big reveal, the big winner? Spoiler alert. Plug your ears if you don't want to know. Cochran won the whole thing, won the $1 million.
Oh, he or she is great.
Oh, you know Cochran? He's the nerdy redheaded kid from Harvard. He's like scrawny and little nerdy guy. You don't know Cochran?
I didn't see the show.
Cochran. But he was coming back. He was a favorite.
Was it satisfying?
It was. It was good. I had a good time. More news from Fox. 24 is coming back.
Or as they're calling it now, 12?
You know, more or less.
So odd.
They canceled Kiefer Sutherland's new Fox show, Touch, and then they brought him back to do 24. It's going to be a limited series next summer. They will roll out 24 over 12 weeks beginning next May. Fox says, big scope, top talent, top marketing budget. They're really going to give this a push. So, Fox is coming back.
Look, that was a great show. I'm sure it'll be satisfying TV. It is weird to abandon the 24 format. Are they going to do 2 hours per episode now, or what?
No, they will. They will compress 2 hours into the 1 hour.
Into one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So the time will move a little bit quicker. So we'll wait and see. Jack Bauer returns. And although NBC has not announced it, Donald Trump says his Celebrity Apprentice has been renewed, which is weird. It was left off the network's announcement, but Trump tweeted yesterday, I am pleased to inform you that Celebrity Apprentice has been renewed for another season by NBC. Well, that seems good because Southland was canceled and Celebrity Apprentice lives on. So.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
You should be. NBC is still in a role. Seth Meyers has been tapped to follow Jimmy Fallon as his replacement for The Late Show. So once Fallon takes over The Tonight Show, of course vacated by Jay Leno, then Seth Meyers will step in and replace him in the show that follows. So it's all Lorne Michaels all the time.
That is an interesting choice in that we know so little about Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
We know he writes for Saturday Night Live, and we've seen him do the Weekend Update, but we haven't seen him much as an actor or a singer or a sketch performer or some of the other things that you pretty much need to do to be able to run a late-night talk show.
Although some would say the hardest part, which would be the desk piece.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can handle that because he's done the Weekend Update for so long.
Right. I mean, how is he as an interviewer, for instance? You know, we don't know.
We don't know. We didn't know how Jimmy Fallon would be as an interviewer either. True. You know?
Right, right.
Obviously, Lorne Michaels has faith in him and he's going to put him in the slot. So good for him. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lena Dunham of Girls on HBO. She's 27 years old today. Robert Pattinson is also 27. They say he's boozing all the time now. He's so upset about his relationship with Kirsten Dunst.
Really?
Look, wow. If I was dating Kirsten Dunst, I'd be loaded all the time, too. Darius Rucker of Hootie fame is 47. Stephen Colbert from Comedy Central's Colbert Report is 49 years old. Dennis Rodman is 52. Writer and TV creator Alan Ball turns 56. R&B legend Stevie Wonder is 63 years old today, and actor Harvey Keitel celebrates his 74th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, that band right there, 30 Seconds to Mars, they're on the lineup for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. We got backstage passes and pit tickets to see them, along with the Black Keys, Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, Imagine Dragon, AWOL Nation, Fits in the Tantrums, Atlas Genius, and so much more. Your chance to win coming up. Comedian Jim Gaffigan joins us in a minute, but first, this guy.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good! It feels so good! To be alive!
And today it does, because Kevin Bean's official NHL playoff correspondent, Colin Hanks, joins us on the phone on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, Colin.
I'm glad my audio calling card is now finally back in the rotation. We missed it last time.
Well, we did. We did forget. But our listeners were very disappointed in us that we didn't bring you on with that. So now we've accomplished it. So this could have been a very different conversation today if you were facing a Game 7. But how are you feeling about Saturday night? Good, I bet.
Feeling very good. I got to admit, this is the only time I've been not so much excited that I've never been less excited about getting the McFlurry Minute card.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly.
Now, for those not paying attention, Dustin Penner scored a goal in the last minute of the second period, commonly known as the McFlurry minute. This is not a plug for that business. But normally people are very excited to be getting their card so they can all get the free ice cream because, hey, who doesn't like free ice cream?
And by the way,
in this case, it does not matter because it was the game-winning goal because no goals were scored in the third period. And the Kings went on to advance, thus no seventh game. We're all very excited. Kings are in the second round. This is all very good.
Yeah, six games against St. Louis. They lost the first two, came back, won the next four. All six games were one-goal games, which shows you how beautifully evenly matched those teams were. And I think Dustin Penner, he impressed some people with that because it would have been very easy for him to just say, hey, we're at the end of the period here, let's just skate off the ice. And instead, he kept the pressure up and went for it. And I think, you know, there are a lot of fans who have been kind of down on him for parts of this season. I think he's redeemed himself by being in the right place at the right time.
They call him Playoff Penner. He comes up in the playoffs. He did it last season when he scored that OT winner in Phoenix to take us to the Stanley Cup Finals. This was his second goal of the series against the Blues. I mean, he shows up when we need him to. He's playoff center.
And winning four in a row, I mean, now you start to get, not that you take anything for granted because every round is tough, but now you start to feel a little bit of the Stanley Cup magic, a little bit of the pixie dust that you had last year. Remember when they were going in and they were just obliterating teams?
Well, they definitely got a mojo, that's for sure. This past series was the fifth series in a row in which the Kings had won a series starting off as the road team without home ice advantage. That's an NHL record. No other team has done that before. And you definitely get the feeling that the boys are definitely sort of getting their groove back, you know. Any championship run, the team's got to come together at the right time and everybody's got to step up. I don't quite think we're there yet, but you definitely saw goals from Anze Kopitar. You saw a couple of goals from Carter. Mike Richards has a couple of points. So you see guys starting to contribute where they need to, and everybody needs to do that in order for the team to succeed. And you sort of got a little bit of a sense of that for sure. I mean, it was a hard-fought series. Like you said, every game was decided by one goal. That's not easy hockey to play by any means. And the Kings were somehow able to sort of get it going, and it's going to be really interesting to see if they can keep that going into this series against the Sharks.
Now, you were saying last night on your Twitter, Colin Hanks, that you were kind of hoping that this would be a face-off against Anaheim instead of San Jose. Why?
Because the Kings and the Mallards have never met in the playoffs before. Simple as that. I refuse to call them by their given name. They've changed it a couple of times, so I call them the Mallards. But yeah, the Kings and the Mallards have never played together in the playoffs. They've never played against each other. And, you know, that is a great rivalry. By all means, and so I would have really liked to have finally seen them in the playoffs and beat them. But hey, listen, there's also a really great rivalry between the Sharks and the Kings, and I think that's going to be one hell of a series.
Well, I want to ask Beer Mug about that, who works here on the Kevin and Bean Show behind the controls. Colin, you were worried about San Jose, Beer Mug. How come?
Well, it seemed that when they played him in the regular season a couple times on San Jose's ice, that the Kings struggled to score any goals. Do you think that's going to happen in the playoffs here, Colin?
Well, it all just depends on if the guys can step up. Again, you know, I mean, Jeff Carter's got to be able to get his shot off. Anze Kopitar's got to be able to score some goals. He's got to get free and score some goals. We've just got to have all the guys contribute, you know? I mean, once again, I mean, if the team is going to succeed, everyone's got to do what they're supposed to do. And scoring goals is going to be a big part of it. The good part of the game is that you only need to score one, and then your defense needs to do well. You only got to beat, you know, the team with the most points wins. And even if it's just one, that can technically be enough, but there's no doubt that Sharks team is incredibly talented. They got a lot of guys on that team that quite frankly makes my muscles tighten. So, so you know, I mean, it's going to be a hard-fought series, no doubt about it. The Kings are really going to have to step up.
And speaking of defense, Kevin is out today, but you guys had a little bit of a disagreement on the phone last week because he feels there's something wrong with Jonathan Quick. He doesn't like the way he's moving. There's something going on with his back, or is he not as fast as he once was. You wouldn't have known that from Friday night, though, would you?
No, and you know what? And if I was sitting next to him, I would have smacked him and said, you see what we're talking about here? I mean, Jonathan Quick's save percentage is fantastic. I mean, Quick is – you know, I never want to say that, you know, hey, we're looking like we did last season, because it's a totally new season. But Jonathan Quick was playing so good, you know, and he was the number one star of the game. You know, he's keeping the boys in it at all times. And, you know, he may be, you know, some people may say, oh, he seems to have lost his stuff. I don't know what they're talking about. The guy's winning games, you know, with the exception of those two little foul-ups, it sort of worked. So
he stopped 21 shots on Friday night. He was 167 of 177 in the series, which is a .944 save percentage, and good enough to win four in a row, by the way. So
I don't know how you can say anything bad about that.
What's the status in our remaining moments here, Mr. Hanks? What is the status of the satin jacket? When last we spoke to you on Monday, you had ordered it Saturday. It had not yet arrived. Has it, and are you wearing it?
Right now? It's kind of early in the morning for satin. no, I wore the jacket to the game. It was the first time I'd worn the jacket
okay,
to the game.
Great.
Guys, I was very nervous. Very
yeah,
nervous.
Yeah, of course.
They still won.
Anytime you bring a new good luck charm into the rotation, you have to be worried that you're somehow going to screw up the mojo.
I am 4-0 since the purchase of the jacket. I am 1-0 wearing the jacket to the
game.
There you go. Guys, I'm telling you, it's the difference maker. It's that X factor.
Exactly. Well, thank God for the jacket. Now, are you required to buy something else for round two, or does the magic continue?
No. It's just you must appease the hockey gods at the beginning of the playoffs. The only other thing that might be required is a playoff beard, which I am growing, although my daughter is really not liking it very much. So the beard might have to go, but I don't have to purchase anything else.
Okay, that's cool. All right, do we know yet, or have they not yet announced when round two starts, Colin?
I don't think they've announced when round two starts yet. I just woke up and saw that the Sharks had were going to be who we're facing, so I don't know if there's a schedule yet.
All right, well, we're going to keep in touch. We'll definitely be talking to you again. Colin Hanks, follow him on Twitter, at Colin Hanks, and don't miss him on the TV tonight. He is guest starring on the season finale of NCIS, and apparently you are a badass on this
I'm a lawyer. I don't know if that's like what that means. I've played real bad guys before that have done really evil, horrible things. This time, I'm just a lawyer. But yeah, I guess I'm still a bad guy.
Lawyer equals bad guy, Colin. Aww. Come on, we all know. There he is, the official NHL playoff correspondent of the Kevin Beach Show, Colin Hanks. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Take it easy, guys. Go Bye. Kick.
Look who's back. Funny man Jim Gaffigan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is an honor to be here.
Now an author, by the way, with the book in stores now, available for download and everything as of last week, called Dad is Fat. Jim?
Yes. Well, as a literary giant, I have approached many things, and that's all I got.
It's hilarious. Tell the kids why the book is called Dad is Fat, because it's one of the funniest reasons ever to name a book something.
Well, my 7-year-old son, the first sentence he wrote when he was probably 5, you know, they start with simple words, and his first sentence was "Dad is fat," and that shows you the level of respect I get for my children. And then I put him up for adoption. So
but no one wanted him.
No one wanted him, so he's sticking around.
And you do say, and because I've seen some of your press that you've done, you know, promoting the book, you do say how different it is generationally, because you were terrified of your dad. Like, you would have, in a million years, never called your dad fat because you were scared of him. But kids today, like, they're, I don't know, their parents or their friends or something, or maybe their enemies. I don't know.
They just, you know, they know we're not going to hit them. They just, they're like, what's the worst thing that this person's going to do? And so, you know, there's something to the fact that, you know, I mean, I love the fact that my kids or, you know, I'm not a monster to them, but I wish that they had some respect for me. But then again, they kind of have a sense that I have no idea what I'm doing. Most dads don't. We're just kind of vice presidents of the family, and we're just getting
You're one of the only guys who's brave enough to admit that, let's face it, mom's the boss, and I'll just do whatever she says to do.
Right. I mean, well, most guys, you know, obviously there's exceptions, but most guys, you know, our skill set kind of reaches ordering pizza, and that's about it. You know, we don't know how to, you know, braid hair, and, you know, we're the vice president. You know, the mom is like Bill Clinton feeling the pain, and we're Al Gore, the nerd telling everyone to turn off the lights.
Right. All right. Terrify our listeners right now who have kids, and really terrify the ones who don't by running down the ages of yours, Jim.
I have a 9. My daughter just turned 9. I have a 7-year-old who is up for adoption. And I have a 3.5-year-old, and I have an 18-month-old, and I have a 7-month-old.
Oh, my God.
5 kids, and I don't even own a farm.
Yeah. You need a farm.
But, you know, there's two kids. You're overwhelmed by 2 kids. At this point, I almost feel more comfortable when I'm overwhelmed because it's just, you're drowning.
It's like puppies. They're just everywhere. Like, you can't stand up and walk in your apartment or condo, whatever you have, without stepping on something, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I couldn't get a date. And now my apartment's literally crawling with babies. It's like I left peanut butter out or something.
Now, I don't want to get too personal or uncomfortable, but how many of these kids are a mistake?
None of them are a mistake. I mean,
so each time you were going for, hey, I know we have 3, but let's have another one. Hey, I know we have 4, but let's have another one.
No, there was not like, oh, we're going to have as many kids as possible. But there was definitely, you know, I mean, I had this romantic, I'm from 1 of 6 and my wife's 1 of 9, but I didn't realize my wife was this fertile. You know, I mean, I try not to even let her hold avocados at this point. You know? She's very fertile, but you know, after I was terrified after the when we were pregnant with our 3rd kid, but at this point I'm like, you know, what do I need the money for? You know, am I going to buy a boat? You know what I mean? All I need is like a good burger every now and then, and you know, watch a football game, and I'm all right.
Is there a point though at which you say enough?
Well, hopefully, I mean, you know,
are you at that point yet?
I don't know. You know, the thing is, like when we had 3, I was like, we're done. And, you know, I know how babies are made, and I'm not going to stop doing that.
Right.
So, and my wife.
Other things that you might do?
Yeah, you know, my wife, I'm Catholic. My wife's like a Shiite Catholic. So there's no, there's no goalie. So it's.
Understood.
You know, it's just like, you got to go with the flow and,
you
I'm
need
right
to. I think the best birth control for you, Jim, would be to watch a little bit of that Michelle Duggar reality show. Isn't she the one who has the 22 children? Maybe watch some of that.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
You know, because of course, when you have like 4 or 5 people, they compare you to someone that has 20.
Of course, I think it's reasonable.
It's like we have a lot of kids, but not that many. But I don't know. I mean, I think that you know, touring, promoting my book, that's, you know, I've been out of town for 4 days. I know that I haven't gotten her pregnant during that
That's
area.
Your birth control, Dad.
That's my birth control.
Hit the road.
Promoting
the book is
a
called
book.
Dad is Fat, by the way. It is very funny. You can meet Mr. Gaffigan in person tonight. He is going to be signing books at the Barnes & Noble, which is apparently it's a building where they actually sell books where you can go physically into a building and buy one? Is that a thing that exists?
It's amazing. There's a couple of them that still exist.
They're landmarks now. The Barnes & Noble at the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica at 7:30. Jim is going to be signing the book. All right, let me ask you one more question before the break, Jim, and then I have many more for you. And that and this is an easy one to go out on, but which kid's your favorite?
I think that I was afraid that I would have a favorite, but I don't. I mean, I like all of them because they still like me. I mean, I know they're all going to hate me, but they all like me at this point, so I'm kind of equally you know, in favor of all of them.
If your wife wised up and left you, would you want her to take all the kids, take none of the kids, or would you guys want to split them up fairly?
You mean like split them up like in that Freaky Friday or whatever that Disney movie was? I don't know.
You know how you go halvesies on possessions, you know what I mean? All right, I'll take these DVDs and you take those. Would you want to split the kids up?
No, I would not want to split them up.
You want to keep them together. So would you want to keep them or would you want her to keep them?
I'd want them. But, you know, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. But then again, you know, like I've been away from my kids for 3 days now, and the first day I was like, oh, this is amazing, and now I'm like, hey, I miss my kids, you know, I'm gonna go back there and they're gonna be 3 feet taller.
Right.
So
he's got it bad, kids. Jim Gaffigan is here. The book is called Dad Is Fat. More with our guests right.
These DJs are superstars.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Thank you for that. Jim Gaffigan is here, very, very funny comedian here on the Kevin and Bean Show, promoting his new book called Dad Is Fat, which is available everywhere for purchase right now. You can meet Jim at the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. He'll be signing copies of the books at Barnes & Noble tonight. Writing a book, that's a massive undertaking. Lisa just pointed out during the commercial there, especially for a guy like you who's got a house full of kids, how do you ever find a minute to sit down and keep your thoughts straight to be able to write this thing, Jim?
Well, I'm most definitely a night person, so Not that kids are, when you have five, not that there's ever a moment when they're all asleep, but there's definitely a late night quiet that
like
you can
like a lull.
Kind of, yeah, there's a moment of silence that you can kind of enjoy. And I wrote this with my wife. You know, we do everything together. But, you know, it's a completely different task than stand-up. I mean, stand-up, you're trying to communicate an idea in the shortest way possible. And, you know, writing a book, you can't use vocal inflection or anything like that. You have to really kind of paint a picture.
Yes. And you paint a picture, and I think it's fascinating because you start from the beginning back when you and your wife had no kids and were thinking about the idea, and you're kind of looking around, and you tell a story about some friends that you took a trip to the Grand Canyon, and that was one of the most terrifying things I've ever read. Jim, would you mind sharing some of that?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it's weird. I always describe friends that get married and have kids is kind of being captured by aliens. You know, they're kidnapped, they disappear, and then they reappear as these different people. And my friend, I was visiting him. He lived in, I guess, New Mexico. And, you know, they proposed that we go to the Grand Canyon. My wife, Jeannie, at the time we were dating. And I was like, that's great. And they had a one-year-old. And so when we arrived kind of, you know, at 9 o'clock, and they escorted us right to the guest room, and they said good night. And I thought that was rather odd, given that it was 9 o'clock, and I had only eaten one dinner at that point. So the next day, we got up at like 7, and we drove out to the Grand Canyon, and there was a certain CD that could only be played in the car because it was for the entertainment of the baby, which was 1 year old. He was 1 year old, and you know, the volume would be adjusted, and the music was very much like ba da ba 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 da ba. And so it was, you know, the Southwest is beautiful, but there's nothing going on. And I remember there was like a beef jerky store, not like a store that sells beef jerky. It's like a store that only sells beef jerky, and it was a drive-through beef jerky store. And so I was joking around, imagining what the owner was like. Hey, how you doing there? And we, you know, the new mom explained to me that the voice I was doing was upsetting the baby. And I remember looking back, and the baby was sleeping, and I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. All right, but this is what parenting's like. And then we got to the Grand Canyon, and, you know, the housing there is kind of like, you know, army barracks. You just have to wait for hours to get your housing. And we needed side-by-side rooms because that's what my friend wanted. And so I was like, all right. So eventually we got them. We started walking down to the Grand Canyon, to the Colorado River. And probably 10 minutes into it, the baby kind of squeaked. And the mother announced, well, that's it. We have to go back. the only time I'm ever going to the Grand Canyon, or my wife's going to the Grand Canyon. And it was just like, this baby's always napping. I don't understand what these parents are doing. And so I just announced, look, we're going to go on. And they were like, because they thought that we were going to turn around and go back,
right,
too, just because they had a kid.
So they make every decision in their life, where they sleep and what they talk about and what they listen to is all for the comfort of the one-year-old, right?
Yes. And it's strange because this is a good friend of mine. This is someone I grew up with who's a very, you know, he's a doctor. He's a very, you know, intelligent, well-adjusted person. His wife's a great person, but they had changed because of parenting. And eventually it became, you know, we did the Grand Canyon. We came back and they were standing outside their room. And I was like, well, did you guys get locked out? And they're like, no, the baby's napping in there. We were hoping we could hang out in your room. And I was like, I was like, what?
They're like afraid of their child.
Yeah. There were, you know, there's just like this lunacy that occurs in some parents. And so I remember that was my experience going into parenting prior to, you know, having any kids, was that it just turns people into these lunatics. And being a single person on an airplane, when you'd see someone carry a screaming 2-year-old on the plane, you'd kind of cringe because, you know, you're going to have to be dealing with yelling. But you also are like, why would you subject yourself to that?
Uh-huh.
And so that's just, I said that's, you know, I did that story just to put some perspective on how crazy you know, my perspective on parenting. And also as a comedian, you know, I mean, I work at night, I'm a loner. It's like I shouldn't really even be in charge of a plant, but now I'm
the
father of five.
Once you started having those babies, though, did you turn into that lunatic parent, or were you able to keep it under control?
No. I mean, I was definitely in some control of it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I think most parents don't know what they're doing. You know, you're trying, but you definitely don't want to go overboard. I mean, I almost feel as though because we have so many kids, we're not smothering them like some people smother their kids.
You just don't have time.
Yeah, you don't have time to put your kid in a fedora when they're two. If you've got other kids.
Right. Is your upbringing, you said you came from a large family, as did your wife. Yeah. Is your upbringing, was yours very different than the way your kids are being brought up, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, you know, I'm an involved dad. I don't know what that means necessarily, but I'm jealous of... you know, in a way, I'm grateful that I'm an involved dad, but in some ways, I'm jealous of my father's generation. Like, they did nothing. You know,
yes.
they
just
brought,
scared you.
Yeah, they brought home the bacon, but that didn't even mean they didn't even bring home the bacon or shop or even cook the bacon. They just ate the bacon.
Right,
but
exactly.
It's not that they didn't do anything. It's that they didn't feel guilty at all. And now, you know, I have, you know, a summer sling and a winter sling for babies. And I still feel guilty all the time. So I'm part of me is jealous of just the detachment that fathers of a generation ago existed in. You know,
so. Yeah, I do notice every Sunday night when I watch Mad Men that it would have been an awesome time to be a man is in the 60s when you pretty much do whatever you want all the time always.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. They had it so good.
Yeah.
But then again, they didn't, though, because I think that...
Because their kids hated them.
Well, their kids hated them, but also their kids were strangers, essentially.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
I'm very... I try to be very involved, but I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm trying. You know, it's like I can barely read myself, and I have to read stories to them in these dark rooms thousands and thousands of times over. But I do
get the impression your next book is going to be a children's book, by the way, because you've determined that most children books suck. So it's time to write one that doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm tempted to. I mean, there's some – like my whole point of view is that some people say, oh, I love, you know, a certain children's book. I love, you know, Harry the Dirty Dog. It's not that like certain children's books are so good. It's just that most of them are so horrible. And that, you know, you're like, well, this one's bearable because you have to be able to read the thing for a thousand times. And so,
right.
I don't know. I'd like to maybe, I mean, that sounds like about an easy enough task for me to write a children's book. Because a lot of them, they feel like they've just been kind of communicated by text, you know, or Morse code. Cindy has a ball. Tommy has a bucket. They are friends. They are sharing. And
see, you just wrote the first chapter already, Jim. It's not
go.
That hard at all. Well, the book is very funny. If you have kids, you will find so much to be relatable in this book because and the hilarious thing is Jim is a professional comedian, so he makes it very funny. The book is called Dad is Fat. It's available everywhere for purchase right now, and you can meet Jim tonight, May 13th at the Barnes & Noble in the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. Is this cutting into you're still doing the stand-up all the time during the week. Is this cutting into your acting jobs too, Jim? Are you having to put that on the back burner a little bit?
No, it's all good. I mean, this was, you know, my wife and I, we just kind of, you know, when you have five kids, you have five opportunities to be exposed to pregnancy, five opportunities to be exposed to, like, toddlerhood. So it's all good. You know,
materials forever.
I think Twitter kind of inspired this book because being a comedian, I strive for my material to be kind of universal. I don't want, I was that 20-year-old guy that would see comedians talk about their wife and kids, and I told myself I didn't want to do that. And so I would almost censor myself not doing kids or parenting material. But then with Twitter, I felt like I had an outlet. And so I turned some of those tweets into longer essays, you know. So it was good.
Good stuff. Jim, always great to see you, man. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Black Keys got those tickets for you for Steve at the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 in the pit. You can win coming up very soon here on the world-famous K-Rock. The Gregory Brothers join us after the top of the hour. So hide your kids, hide your wife. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Can't believe we got the Black Eyed Keys to play Weenie Rose. It's amazing because Fergie, I don't think we've ever even played her music.
Ralph,
and then she's still going to be on the lineup and headlining the lineup. I think it's, I don't know, it's just weird to me.
You're
strange.
Confused. No, this is the Black Keys. This is different from the Black Eyed Peas. You're thinking of the Black Eyed Peas. That's different.
I don't see the difference.
Black
I'm
Keys.
Sorry.
Say what?
They wear the metal hats, though, right? They wear those plates in their heads, like those bionic head plates. They got
that's
those,
them.
Right?
Yeah, that's okay, them.
I just want to make sure. I like the light-up suits they wear. Very
And the two black guys. That's them. That's the Black Keys,
sure.
Right.
Before I get to the show business news, I would like to give you something, because I've been away for a couple days, and I feel bad about that. I know you probably had your Omar do Showbiz Beat or something, so I'd like to make up for that and give you some stuff. I've got passes to the red carpet world premiere of Fast and the Furious 6.
Yay!
That's right, you heard me. Red carpet world premiere of FF6, as we're calling it in the biz.
Now, is this faster and more furious than ever before?
Yes, it is 6 times faster and furiouser than the first.
All right.
Twice as fast as Fast and Furious 3.
Gotcha.
The red carpet, here's who you'll be walking alongside. Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He'll probably be limping a little bit because he's got that hernia. But everyone else from the movie will be there, including you.
Farrah Abramson.
She will not be attending. She's busy getting airtight. Here are your passes. You want to go? Of course, why don't you? It's Tuesday, May the 21st at Universal City Walk. Very cool. I'm sure they're going to have cars and stuff there, too. It'll be quite the event. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First 5 callers through with that number will get a pair of passes to attend the world premiere of Fast and Furious 6.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird will not be there, sadly. While we're talking about movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. That's what we do every Monday morning. Iron Man 3 in its second week, still number one, still dominates, $72.5 million at the box office. Iron Man has officially made more money than Tony Stark has. That's how much money they've made. The Great Gatsby was right behind it, though, in its debut. A surprising $51.1 million. They thought it would do well. No one expected to break the $50 million mark, so congratulations to Baz Luhrmann and company. Gain and Pain, third. Tyler Perry presents Peoples in its debut weekend. Made almost $5 million. Made it number 4. 52 was fifth. Oblivion, The Croods, My Big Wedding, Mud, and Oz, The Great and Powerful, rounding out the top 10. Since we're talking about The Gatsby doing so well in its opening weekend, here's a little story about Leonardo DiCaprio. Nothing? All right, keep going.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
There we go. He was attending the French premiere of The Great Gatsby, and he had 2 girls, one on each arm, when he attended the premiere. Now you're just showing off, Leo.
Yeah.
Now you're just rubbing our faces in it. We were giving you the benefit of the doubt. We thought you were a pretty cool dude, but now you've stepped over the line.
That's douchey.
That's
right?
Douchey.
Yeah.
A hot chick on each arm. Rita Ora was one. Pop star Rita Ora was on one arm. On the other arm, model Cara Delevingne. Those were his dates for the big night. Now Leo defends himself by saying, they're just my good friends, and it's a hot ticket. And it was hard to get in, so I wanted to make sure they were taken care of, so I brought them as my date so they could get into the premiere.
Yeah. They all left together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah,
he does all right.
He's getting it done. Leonardo DiCaprio. He is getting it done.
He does okay. Kardashians have been forced to change the name of their cosmetics line. We've been following this story. They called it Chroma with a K. But it turns out there was a pre-existing cosmetic line named Chroma with a K.
Right.
K-R-O-M-A versus the Kardashians K-H-R-O-M-A. They said, hey, stop it. We've had that name and you're ugly. And so they won the suit.
They added you're ugly? That was actually part of the lawsuit?
I think that's the thing that swayed the judge. He looked at Khloe and said, yeah, you're right. So it's a $10 million lawsuit. A part of the settlement is they have to change the name of their beauty line. So from now on, that cosmetics line will be called Kardashian Beauty.
Huh. Well, at least it still starts with a K. That's what matters.
That's all right. I'm surprised they didn't call it Kardashian Cutie with a K. And, just that. And Mom Kardashian, Kris Jenner's talk show is happening, but some insiders say it's not happening all at the same time. Star Magazine is reporting that no one in Hollywood wants to be on her show. It starts in July, and they can't book any guests.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that great news?
I'd like to see Chris just stand there for an hour and just try to talk without hitting the sauce.
I don't know who they think's going to tune in for that. I mean, she's the least likable person in Hollywood. Like, why would you want to invite her into your home for an hour?
Every show's guest star, Farrah Abraham. Today's celebrity birthdays, Harvey Keitel. He's 74 years old today. What a brilliant actor. If you've never seen Mean Streets, if you've never seen some of his other fine work, 74 years old today. Well, Pulp Fiction, of course, people know him from that. Stevie Wonder's 63 years old today. Alan Ball turns 56. Dennis Rodman, The Worm, former NBA star, and now I believe he's the ambassador to North Korea, if I'm not mistaken.
Apparently so, yes.
He's 52. Stephen Colbert is 49 years old today. Darius Rucker of Hootie fame is 47. Robert Pattinson is 27. Lena Dunham of Girls fame is also 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Capital City's right there. See that band Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. They are part of the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Wuss 2013.
Weenie Wuss 2013.
We got your tickets. You can win in about an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, hit it, Steve.
Double rainbow. He's climbing in your windows, he's matching your people up, trying to rape him, so you need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
They said, we want your money, everybody down. And I'm watching, oh, what's gonna be coming now? And so, the guy in black shirt's coming down, 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 down. And I'm backing up, backing up, backing up, backing up. Cause my daddy taught me good.
Why would you want a real girlfriend that you could spend real time with? Are you gay?
Far from it. Far from it.
Why, Manti?
They're giving away. They're giving away. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't find the glue. If that girl put in that house, she said, please help me get it out. They're giving away.
Well, we're out of time, guys. Thanks a lot for coming in. Good to see you. Ladies and gentlemen, they are the Gregory Brothers, and they are here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Welcome. I think we have Andrew and Michael. Is that right?
That's right. You're exactly right. How'd you guess?
Welcome to K-Rock, you guys.
Thanks
you,
for having us.
Along with your brother Andrew and his wife Sarah are the Gregory Brothers, and you have pretty much taken over the world. You are the best at what you do, which is to take people on the news and turn them into songs. Did you guys invent the word songify, by the way? Was that something that came from you?
I believe we did. We didn't think the word autotune really captured it because, you know, you're adding music, you're doing all these other things, so we needed a new word in Webster's immediately.
How successful was that Songify app that you put out that allowed everybody to talk and make their own songs out of their stuff?
Our grandmom has it, so I mean, I feel like you always know you've crossed a threshold. We talk about it in the office, the mom threshold. Yeah. That's when your video's really gone viral. So since we've crossed the grandmom threshold, I figure that we've sold at least 5 billion.
That's 5 billion apps.
5 billion apps for free.
It's pretty huge. Well, I know we've had you guys, but we've talked to you guys before on the phone, and it seems like this new career that you have of the viral video creators is like the last thing in the world you ever expected would happen. I mean, you guys were just like a lot of people trying to make it as a band, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, in 2007, we went on a tour all across the country just in a van, like many bands would. You know, we were really biding our time because when we were, you know, in middle school, high school, we'd sit around the house and say, guys, here's the plan. In probably 10, 15 years, there's going to be a website that'll let you put videos up on the online, and we'll start making videos, and eventually, you know, we'll start making money from that. So it was really, we were really just biding our time, you know, before our master plan panned out.
Good thinking. Wow. Prescient. What was the first one you did?
I think the first one ever was a debate between Joe Biden and Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
So we turned that into a musical.
Tell me how the inspiration struck and the Gregory Brothers, as we know them today, were born.
So we knew each other from a very young age, from I think the age of zero. Yeah, I met Evan first. and then
I met the musical act, the viral video musical act. Tell me how that inspiration struck
Michael
when that debate
had,
was on TV.
Michael made a music video that was a debate between Obama and McCain in 2008. And Michael had subtracted Obama out of the video and put himself in sort of as a fake Obama. A lot of people were confused. They saw Michael on the screen and thought, wow, that guy is really a dead ringer for Obama. And the next debate was coming around. It was the vice presidential debate between Palin and Biden.
Yeah.
And we sort of had the idea. We'd all started getting pumped up to work on this next video, we had the idea to actually, Michael's trained as a studio engineer, to use his sort of brain power at auto-tuning singers in the studio at auto-tuning Palin and Biden. And we're kind of lucky, because when we use that later on Obama and McCain, they were kind of terrible, unintentional singers. If we tried it on them first, we might have given up. But Palin and Biden were unbelievable.
They're always
yelling. And it just sounded great.
Yeah, they're just some of the best unintentional singers ever. Obama in a debate is just – he's just so deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Where Biden is just screaming, God bless America, at any possible given moment, really.
Right, right, right. Whether it's relatable to the question or not.
Oh, man. So we're kind of getting – oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Auto-tuning the news, then, that was kind of – that was the breakthrough. And then all of a sudden you realize how big those videos became, and that led to songifying.
Yeah, exactly. We were making – we decided to serialize it and figured the best way to do it was the news. But after we'd been doing that for about a year, you guys played a minute or two ago the Double Rainbow song.
Right.
That was
right.
The first song where we saw a video that wasn't a news video and sort of said, wow, listen to this guy's unintentional singing potential. You know, this just can't – we just can't let this guy lie around and not be an unintentional singer.
And it's one thing to run voice through through the auto-tune. But, I mean, obviously the musical chops that you guys have to be able to create those melodies and make those hooks so memorable. I mean, you turn them into hit songs. I mean, your stuff is some of the catchiest stuff that's out there. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I mean, you can look at it and see how many you've sold on iTunes to see that. But, I mean, you have hit songs. Now, do you incorporate these when you go out and play with the band now, when you play your own music that you write? Do you do these songs as well?
You know, the last time we went on tour was in 2010 now, and we went out on a much bigger tour than we went out on in 2007. And, yeah, we took a seven-piece rock band, and we had a huge screen behind us and would project the videos on the screen while we sort of, like, played the songs and sang them up front. It was really different and really fun than what we were doing years ago.
Does it kind of blow your mind when you see people singing along to Antoine Dodson, for instance, doing the Bed Intruder song?
It would blow my mind if people weren't singing along to Antoine Dodson. I mean, listen to that guy go.
Tell me about the phenomena of the cover versions of your hits.
Well, I mean, the thing about the YouTube community is it's well, that's why people love YouTube, and it's why we love YouTube, is because there is that community. And we first saw that happening with Double Rainbow and the Bed Intruder song. Just the covers people were putting out blew our minds. There was the there was a guy doing a shamisen version.
Yeah, that's Japanese shamisen.
Which is like a three-string lute. That video has like 2 million views now, and it should. It's remarkable.
There's you always get pumped up when you see the marching band version.
Yeah, there's the marching band version of the Bed Intruder song. And we loved those videos, and I think because we would link to them, they would get a lot more views. But it also just got people thinking, like, oh, man, some guy made a shamisen version. Well, I guess I'm going to make this awesome dance version. And really sort of drove this whole just wave of excitement about those songs.
Yeah, it's like a competition. Can the accordion outdo the violin?
Right, right. Do you guys remember when you first found out that Haley from Paramore had covered your Bed Intruder song?
It was a good thing I was wearing my brown pants that day.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the type of thing. When you're working, you know, hard at work on your computer in the office there in New York, the last thing in the world you're thinking about is somebody like her singing one of your songs. It just must be so crazy for you. I can't imagine.
That was wild. That week, I got calls from two separate friends who had seen Sugarland and Harry Connick Jr. in concert that were like, hey, I know you aren't going to believe this, but I was just at a concert and they covered the Bed Intruder song.
Oh my God.
Sadly, that's we could amazing. Never find a recorded version of Harry Connick Jr. doing it. But
that is amazing. The Gregory brothers are here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got Andrew and Michael from the group, Evan and Sarah of the other half, and they are all going to be in town for an event that's happening this Sunday night. YouTube Comedy Week is a special event that's going on Sunday through the following week, and it is showcasing the best of comedy with live events, video premieres, and the world's funniest people. This lineup is unbelievable. You guys are just part of it. But Vince Vaughn, Lonely Island, Seth Rogen, Epic Mealtime, Tim and Eric, Norm MacDonald, Craig Robinson, Rainn Wilson, the list goes on and on and on. And I guess guess you guys are in town doing something special for that event that kicks off on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're here this week to shoot a music video that is going to be part of Comedy Week for 1 week and 1 week only. YouTube is going to allow funny videos to be posted on the website. You know, it's never happened before, and someone over at YouTube just thought, wow, what if there were funny things?
Well, that might...
Could we also get funny videos with people and their cats? Is that something they can do on YouTube? Or are they not really to cross that line yet?
Like, they already had some hamster videos, but the hamsters were too somber. They need some humorous hamsters.
If you want a pair of passes to the big live comedy show coming up on Sunday, May 19th, to kick off YouTube Comedy Week, we have room for two winners right now at 1-800-520-1067. You can call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Win those tickets, callers 10 and 11. More with the Gregory Brothers when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock right after.
The Gregory Brothers are here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are musicians and viral video creators. They're the guys who take the things that we all laugh at on the news, the YouTube videos of colorful people generally reacting to bad news, and they turn them into a sensation, make them a musical hit. And you share, I think this is interesting, explain how you guys are collaborators with the people who in the YouTube videos, and they get some of the money when you sell those songs, right?
Yeah, we've just always considered, some people are amazed by that, but we never thought to do it any way different. We just always thought, well, these people are, I mean, it's kind of like a co-write, really. Mm-hmm. They made up the words and we made up the music.
Has there ever been anyone who hasn't been flattered by your treatment of them? Someone who wished you hadn't done it or asks you not to put it out or anything like that?
No, that's never happened. We've always gotten great feedback, whether it's from the people themselves or whether we auto-tune a lot of politicians will get like hilarious YouTube comment or YouTube messages from their like teenage kids being like, "My mom loves your video." It's like that's like the kid of a congresswoman sending us a YouTube message.
So when you see somebody like Sweet Brownie, Nobody Got Time for That, or Kai with the smash, smash, mash, when you see something like that, you can't get into the studio fast enough. You know that the clock is ticking. And by the way, your stuff has become so successful that you have many imitators now. There's people who sometimes get videos up as fast as you do, right?
Yeah. In fact, we didn't do the Sweet Brown one, but there's a very watched remix of Sweet Brown that honestly, the guy did a great job with, but you're exactly right. When we saw Kai, we thought like, man, like we got to get in the studio because Kai was a hit waiting.
He was magic. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Charles Ramsey. He's the guy we all saw on the news last week. He's this guy.
We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
He's this guy.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here.
Now, our email started blowing up from Kevin and Bean listeners who said, oh my God, you're going to love this dude so much. I can't imagine what it was like at Gregory Brothers headquarters when your fans wanted to make sure you knew about Mr. Ramsey.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the great thing about the modern age is that within an hour of that blowing up on the internet, we don't even have to be online now. There are so many people emailing us and sending us tweets, and we love that because when we see something being suggested that much, we trust our fans and know that they're going to know what works for us.
And walk me through, if you can, a little bit of the process of how you took that news interview from that Cleveland television station and turned it into dead giveaway. Like, what? How many steps do you have to go through to get it to the point where we see it?
Whew, how many steps? Well, first, you got to make the coffee.
Yeah, you make the coffee. Then you stay up and watch the NBA. I think I was yeah, watching the Heat versus the Bulls, and I got inspired by Nate Robinson. I said, if he puts up more points than LeBron, I can stay up and make this video tonight.
Right. You start with the game on mute, and then after 5 minutes, you say you'll turn it off mute for just a couple minutes. Watch just a couple minutes. Then 3 hours later, you're juiced after the game. The coffee's ready. You order a pizza. You dip it in the coffee. You're ready to go.
At some point, do you get to making the music? Does that happen?
Sometimes. Sometimes okay. It happens. Sometimes it never happens.
So, but I mean, do you ever just stare at your computer screen like you've watched this interview and you see what the awesome clips are that he says, but you just don't have the inspiration for the music or whatever? You just can't figure out how to put it together. Does it take a while to kind of crack that nut?
Yeah, it really can. And sometimes you start to do a song and you realize it's just not going to work at all. Like, I remember I was going to take the Lance Armstrong and Oprah interview and turn that into something, and it was just mm-hmm. so boring. Which was really surprising to me, and the voices were not very melodious, so it just didn't work.
Yeah, we definitely have files and files and folders full of unfinished projects that we started and didn't put out. You know,
isn't that interesting? Because they just don't work. They just don't work out. Like you said, if somebody is just monotone, they're not giving you very much to play with, right?
Yeah, we're our own quality control department, and we don't want to unleash, you know, a less than excellent songification upon the world.
Here's a little bit of the Gregory Brothers and what they did with Charles Ramsey and a song that's become a hit, by the way. They call it Dead Giveaway.
Talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dead Giveaway. Dead Giveaway. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude. But we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out.
Dead Giveaway, dead Giveaway, dead Giveaway, dead Giveaway, dead Giveaway, dead Giveaway, dead Giveaway,
dead Giveaway, dead Giveaway. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day.
Oh my God. So good. Did you talk to Charles Ramsey yourself? Did you guys do any kind of follow-up talk to him and tell him what you were doing or let him know the song was up on iTunes or anything like that?
You know, the song isn't up on iTunes yet precisely because we haven't talked to Charles about it. We've been trying to get in touch with them, but we just have I don't know. It's not like we have this written in stone, but we just always talked among ourselves. And you aren't going to put up a song on iTunes before you talk to somebody about it. So
right.
We're trying to get in touch with Charles, and hopefully it'll be up on iTunes later this week.
And I would think something like this would be, I mean, he'd welcome it. I mean, I would imagine. And he just seems like a super good dude, too. I mean, you saw him in his Piers Morgan interview, and they asked him, what about the reward money, you know, for finding these girls in Cleveland? He's like, hey, I got a job. If there's any reward money, give it to those girls. They're the ones who deserve it. I mean, he just seems like the kind of guy, you know, who would do something great with whatever money came his way as a result of being in the right place at the right time on this one.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and he seems like the neighbor everybody wishes they had.
Absolutely. Well, Dead Giveaway is just the latest. You never know when you're going to be called into action. You could go a month between something happening, or something could happen today that you're going to have to run right back into the studio for.
Yeah, we're basically like the Ghostbusters. We're just always on call, you know, for whatever weird things happen in the world.
Before we let the Gregory Brothers go, I understand you are working on a pilot for Comedy Central. That's sounds intriguing. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we've been working on it with Comedy Central for a while, and it's just we just want to take some of our longer, wackier ideas that haven't made it onto YouTube and put them on TV for folks. Some of the stuff that takes longer than 2 minutes of your time.
Right. That's awesome. All right. YouTube Comedy Week kicks off this Sunday night. Again, the Gregory Brothers are going to be part of that, along with Vince Vaughn, The Lonely Island, and Epic Battles of History, Funny or Die, Nerdist, Tim and Eric, all of our favorites, Epic Mealtime. They're all going to be there. You should definitely check out YouTube for the Comedy Week for all the information about that. And you can get the Gregory Brothers at thegregorybrothers.com. And, of course, follow them on YouTube as well and on Twitter at Gregory Brothers. So nice to meet you guys in person, man. You do outstanding work. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us.
Lisa, I feel, hate to say this, but I feel kind of bad for Tim Tebow.
Why?
I know that's a name we haven't heard in the news. Well, he wins the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Then he has a couple of spectacular games for the Denver Broncos. Then he gets traded to New Jersey where he barely plays. Then he gets unceremoniously dumped. And now he's out of work and may never play football again. He might not even get picked up as a quarterback somewhere.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Which is, I mean, I know the vast majority of college football players do not make it as successful NFL stars. I understand that the odds are against anyone, but it seemed like at one point anyway that he was an incredibly talented guy. Now, a lot of people are saying that New England might be a good place for him to go. I know it seems crazy that we're talking football here in spring, but this is when these moves are made. And the guy who drafted him for Denver now is in charge of that responsibility in New England. And there's been some talk that maybe Tim Tebow is going to be a Patriot, maybe work as a backup for Tom Brady. Well, now there's a report in the news that came out just last night from Yahoo.com. Mike Silver writes that the Patriots have no interest in Tim Tebow because coach Bill Belichick hates him player.
Really?
As a player. Hates him as a player. Those are strong words. Usually you just don't say anything and move on.
Yeah.
But we wanted to find out more about this, and we have a long-time relationship with the coach. So Mr. Belichick joins us here on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hi, Bill. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to talk to you as well. I figured maybe you'd be a little upbeat. You know, this is the off season, a little less pressure. You're not worried about, you know, next week's game. How you feeling?
Did you think that?
I thought maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
I was mistaken.
Yeah.
Do you have any comment on Yahoo.com's Mike Silver and his remarks about how you hate his word Tebow as a player?
I don't know where he gets his information.
Oh, so you're saying that's not true?
I do not hate Tim Tebow as a player. I hate him as a person.
He just, by all accounts, he's the nicest guy in the world. He's a good, clean-living, religious man. He's a virgin. He doesn't party. It seems like he's not the kind of player that's going to cause you a lot of off-field problems.
Yeah. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I'm going to pray in the end zone. Dick.
What's wrong with that? What's the problem with that? That seems like, of all the characteristics of a player, that seems like the one that would least keep him out of playing for New England. He's not a dick. Why is he a dick? What has he done that makes him a dick?
First of all, go ahead. I like to party.
You like to party?
Yeah, I'm a madman.
Look.
And if my players don't want to, you know, get swaggy with me, they don't want to make it rain. They don't want to, you know, guzzle some scissor with the head coach, then we have a problem in the locker room.
Okay, I don't know a lot about you, Mr. Belichick. I know that you do not like to party.
I do.
You do not like. You do not make it rain.
Well, I do.
You certainly don't drink scissor.
I do, and I do, and I do. P A R T Y.
We've never even seen you smile, much less.
Why? Because I said so. I'm a coach, and this Tim Tebow dick doesn't seem like a good time.
Is it that there's too much media coverage? Like, he's a story. You know, you watch ESPN, Coach. You see that they spend 90% of their day talking about where Tim Tebow is going to play. And it's just, maybe it's just a distraction for Brady and for the rest of the team if you bring him in, right?
Nope. It's just a dick.
Just a dick.
Yeah. I don't like him. I don't like his little Tebowing, one knee, forehead, fist thing. I don't like that.
Okay, but there are a lot of professional
apps. Virgin.
You don't like that?
I don't like that. I'm all about the trim.
Oh, dear God.
I'm all about, you know, getting the ladies.
But isn't that his choice?
I like to knock boots.
But if he wants to save himself for marriage, what business is that of yours?
Dick. I don't like that kind of behavior. I like to go out there and bang some beaver.
No, you don't.
Score another ladies.
Nope.
Yeah.
You don't do any of that. Nope.
Bill,
you don't do any of that. You've been married to the same woman for a long time.
See in the champagne room. That's all I say.
I reject this line of conversation.
I don't like Tim Tebow. I don't like what he stands for. It's not the Patriots way.
It is the Patriots way. It's the definition of the Patriots way. You're the red, white, and blue USA, USA team.
Mm-hmm. I think
you're America's team.
I think I know better the Patriots way than you do.
Okay.
And, you know, when me and Brady are tag teaming some hoe in the VIP room. I don't want to. What are you laughing at, Omar?
You have a guy named Omar there?
We got a new trainer on the team named Omar. Okay. He gives us a lot of blow. He scores us all the blow.
Okay.
And all the blues that we do, you know, in the locker room.
I don't think any of that is true.
Hammered right now.
This is you drunk?
I am loaded. I am blasted out of my mind.
Well, you sound exactly the same as you sound every other time we talk to you.
I can't remember,
Coach,
when I've been so drunk.
You don't sound drunk at all. You sound like your normal. Oh, no. Bill. Come on.
Oh,
what?
God.
What happened? Bill.
That is a lot of Jägermeister.
MGMT on KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday morning. Every day this week, just like last week, between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m., we're giving away tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. This time, in the pit and with backstage passes, we're looking for contestants right now to play a game at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. You get a chance to compete for those coming up right after the top of the hour. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Iron Man 3, as expected, still held onto the number one slot with $72.5 additional million dollars this week.
Oh my God.
It's got to put it over $200 million already, right?
Yeah.
Just in 2 weeks?
Did I hear correctly, Ralph, that the third installment of the Iron Man franchise made more money in, like, the opening week than the second one made in its entire theatrical run?
I hadn't heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Iron Man 2 is not a big success, and this one is just a massive hit. So much so that Robert Downey Jr., who's got a profit participation deal in his contract, it's said he has made so far about $80 million from this movie. So this weekend alone, people, you just paid Robert Downey Jr.'s salary. That's what you did by going to see Iron Man. Great Gatsby was second, had a very strong debut weekend, $51.1 million. Pain and Gain, Tyler Perry Presents Peoples, the fourth highest grossing movie in the land,
$4.9 million. 42 was fifth. Oblivion, The Croods, The Big Wedding, Mud, and Oz, The Great and Powerful, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Kate Upton. She has landed her first ever Vogue magazine cover. June issue will feature Kate on the cover. And they do an interview with her, which I think is interesting, where she talks about the criticism she got following her first Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover, about her weight, and people saying how fat she is. She says, things that they're rejecting are things I can't change. I can't change my bra size. They're natural. I can work out and stay healthy and motivated, but I can't change some things. I really just live my life. I love my body. It's what God gave me.
Boobs.
I feel confident with myself, and that inspires other women to feel confident with their bodies. Then great. Yeah, well, there's a lot of women out there with your body, Kate, who just need some boost in their morale.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
She should not be allowed to change anything, by the way.
Nope.
Boobs.
I'm just so glad that pig Kate Upton was only eighth on the list of Maxim's Hot 100. I'm so glad that Miley Cyrus was number one.
No! No!
Madness.
Ralph told us earlier that he ran into Miley Cyrus over the weekend just by coincidence.
The stunning Miley.
Just last night, I was in a restaurant, and she walked in. All heads turned. They said, oh, my God, look at that beautiful woman. She must be the hottest woman in the world. She must be number one. Oh, wait a minute. Nobody said, who's that dude in the beanie? Who's that blonde teenager who just came in here? That teenage boy. Is that Bieber? No.
Right.
No, it's Miley Cyrus.
No.
And Farrah Abraham's back in the news, which must make her very, very happy. TMZ.com spotted the star of Backdoor Teen Mom splurging on a pregnancy test at a local drugstore. Can't help but think she knew the photographers were following her and she had to do something to try to get her name back.
I think there could be something
like
that.
In the
tabloids again. So if I get a pregnancy test, then everyone will spag. Oh, they'll wonder if I'm pregnant. Then I can say, no, I just had a baby for my own privateness. And then I can sell the baby to a corporation for almost $1 million.
She claims, and we'll ask, we have her co-star from that video, James Dean, in studio with us tomorrow, and we'll ask him, but she claims that she had not had sex for a year before she made that video.
Well, of course, who would sleep with that obnoxious whore?
And she didn't do anything in that video that I saw that would lead her to actually have a serious worry about being pregnant.
Well,
babies come out of the butt, right?
Well, see, that's the problem. It's true. That's
She's
science.
Just confused, I guess.
There are also pictures out this week of her making out with another porn star, a woman named Riley Jensen. They're at a hookah bar in Los Angeles, and they're making out. I mean, she just will do anything for attention at this point. And she's already made the porn movie, so you got to go down from here. There's no place to go. Mm-hmm. You've already climaxed, no pun intended, in terms of making your pitch to get some sort of notoriety or infamy. So once the sex tape is out, everything else is going to be, you know, diminished results.
I do worry that Harvey, who knows from celebrities, is right, and that she's going to be one of those canker sores like Kesha or Kim Kardashian, who we're never going to be able to get rid of.
Well, look, I think Kardashian is a phenomenon in and of itself. I think that really is lightning in a bottle. Because Paris Hilton, for example, do you ever hear about her anymore? Does she have a reality show on?
Spencer
Pratt,
though.
Yeah,
Spencer and Heidi.
Yeah, they have
run away.
But I don't think. I think we'll be gone with.
I think we'll be done
with Farrah Abraham soon enough.
I hope
Farrah
so.
Abramson.
That's
yeah,
right.
Farrah Abramson soon will be gone too. I mean, Octomom, they all fade. The Kardashian thing is a unique phenomenon. I really do.
Why can't we get rid of Omarosa then?
Well, because, but even she just disappears, drops off the radar until periodically someone puts her back on a reality show. But
right.
There's no sustain there. She doesn't keep going. And Kesha, for all her flaws, she makes music. And there's some people who like it. You know, some people go to her concerts and buy her records. So that explains any longevity she might have.
But those people are wrong, right?
Hell yeah. Have you seen any of that Kesha, My Wild, Crazy, Bitchin', Swaggy Life, or whatever it's called over there on MTV?
I haven't.
Wow. There's nothing going on there. Really just nothing. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lena Dunham, actress, writer, star of Girls on HBO, is 27 years old today.
Doing pretty well for herself at 27, by the way.
Yes, she is.
Got herself an empire.
Rob Pattinson? Robert Pattinson of Twilight fame is 27 years old today. Darius Rucker turns 47. Stephen Colbert of The Colbert Report is 49. Dennis Rodman, former NBA star and now a sideshow attraction. He is 52 years old. Alan Ball turns 56. Stevie Wonder. I know he's a genius. I've heard that my whole life. Never got it. Never got the Stevie Wonder. Never.
Really?
Nope. Not anything comes on Stevie Wonder. I'm like, okay, what's on the other station? I don't want to call just to say I love you. I don't want to.
Well, that's a terrible song. But Superstition doesn't do it for you?
Yeah, I guess.
Sir Duke?
Oh, that freaking piece of music. Jesus, was that, will that never go away? Oh.
You haven't done nothing?
Oh, come on.
None of those. Living for the City, none of those.
Please, enough.
I wish. Wow, tough room.
Just not for me. And Harvey Keitel, he is for me. Love him. 74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks to you, the K-Rock listeners. We raised a ton of money for Heal the Bay and the Surfrider Foundation when you bought those tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. It sold out when it went on sale a couple of weeks ago at about an hour or so. And the show is coming up fast this Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. The way to go is to win your tickets in the pit and backstage passes. You can do that right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game we like to call Famous Blacks.
Hey, you jive turkeys. Now it's time for Kevin and Bean's brand new game, Famous Blacks. Can you name the black they're talking about? I don't think so, sucker.
I see a level of concern on your face, Lisa. What's that about?
Nothing. This is great. So excited to play this game.
You're fine because there's lots of other jobs you can get at this point,
sure,
right?
Sure, of course.
Famous Blacks is the name of the game. We are going to be looking for you to answer questions. The answer will include the word black. The answer has black in it. That's your clue. And we're going to go, take as many calls we have time for. And then if you get it, if you identify the famous black we're asking about, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets in the pit and backstage passes. Let's see who's up first. How about David? He is on line one to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So you know how the game is played. I'm going to ask you a question. The answer has black in it. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This NHL team won the Stanley Cup in 2010, and they're in the second round of the playoffs again this season, hoping to win the whole thing again. Who are they?
The Blackhawks?
Yeah, see how easy that is? Famous Blacks. Well done. You are in the drawing, my friend. Hang on. We'll see if you win. Thank you. Up next is going to be Arlette. She is on line two. Hi, Arlette.
Hello.
Want to go to the weenie?
Yes.
In the Harry Potter books, this wizard was the only person known to escape unassisted from the prison of Azkaban. He transformed himself into a black dog. Who is he?
Oh.
Harry Potter. In the movies, he was played by Gary Oldman, if you want an additional hint.
I don't know.
So sorry. We were looking for Sirius Black. Sirius Black, it's got black right there in the name. Thank you for playing. Lewis is up next. He's on line three. Hi, Lou.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Fleas carrying disease on rats and other animals spreading to humans are thought to be responsible for more than 100 million deaths worldwide in the 14th century. This pandemic is also known as what?
The Black Plague?
Yeah, Black Plague or Black Death. Either one would be right. Congratulations. You're in the drawing, Lewis. Way to go. Thank you for playing. All right. Let's try Alexis up next.
Hey, good morning, guys. Peep-a-peep.
Popo's out of you as well, my friend. We're playing for backstage passes and tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Rose. You ready for your question?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Famous Blacks. This Boston musician has had a long solo career but is still best known as the leader of this one-time popular K-Rock band, The Pixies. Who is he?
The Pixies.
Famous Blacks.
I'm going to go with... Oh, crap. Black Francis.
We were looking you were Googling, all right? We were looking for Black Francis or Francis Black, but thank you for playing. Nice try. Anytime a guy is like, I'm going to go with...
that's how you know.
All right, we got time for a couple more. Let's try Jennifer. Let's see how she's doing. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
How have you been doing on hold listening to the other contestants?
Nervous. I wish I got the Harry Potter one.
Oh, I know. That was a good one. All right.
All right. If you know someone who creates things out of wrought iron or steel, someone who uses tools to make things like gates and railings and furniture, then you know someone who has this job. What is it?
A blacksmith.
Yeah. Well done. All right, Jennifer, you're in the drawing. Let's do one more. Let's make it Hector. Hector's on line six. Hi, Hector. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to play?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Yep, ready.
All right.
This musician and actor is famous for his band Tenacious D and movies like High Fidelity and Tropic Thunder. Who is he?
Blackjack.
Look at that. Say it again.
Blackjack.
So sorry. We were Hector. Looking for Jack Black was the answer Jack we were looking Black. For. Jack Black.
Hector, come on.
Hector might be dyslexic.
But thank you for playing. Oh, thank
I'm
you
so
playing
sorry.
For. I don't want to end on that. Let's do one more. Let's All do right. the other David. He's on line 7. He's probably going to commit suicide, Hector, right?
Yes. So
Guys,
sad.
The answer is Jack Black, and I said Blackjack. What's wrong with me? All right, David, you're really our last contestant. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
The modern piano has 52 white ones of these, but only 36 what to make a total of 88?
Black keys?
Yes, the black keys. Well done. Okay. All right. Both Davids are in the drawing. Also, Lewis and Jennifer, only one will win backstage passes and tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. Lisa, who's our winner?
Lewis is the winner.
Yay!
Lewis on line 3. Lewis, way to go, man. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
We'll see you Saturday. Thanks for playing Famous Blacks.
Thank you for playing Kevin and Bean's game, Famous Blacks. You did good, man. Solid.
Fun, period, on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Ralph Garman is here for the Showbiz Beat. Before you start, Ralph, it has been announced for Los Angeles Kings fans that game one of round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs is going to be tomorrow night.
Oh, wow. Bang. Boom.
How about that? Tickets are going on sale today at 2 p.m. at Ticketmaster to see the Kings versus the Sharks. L.A. has the home ice advantage, of course. Games one and two are going to be played in Los Angeles 5 and 7 if needed. So there you go. There's your update. 2 o'clock today. Buy your tickets for the Kings. And I guess we're all rooting for the Kings because your team's out, right, Ralph?
Yeah, my Flyers didn't even make the playoffs this year. So I'm definitely rooting for the Kings, my adopted hometown team.
Yep. Good times. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat as we close down a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
And I saw Judy Greer, our buddy Judy Greer, tweeting this morning. Apparently she's a Red Wings fan.
Oh. Really? So now we have to cut her out of the rotation?
We can't love her anymore. Yeah,
can't love her
I
anymore.
I feel bad, but the love has died now for Judy Greer. Sorry, Judy.
That
looks very funny, by the way, in the trailer for the upcoming Arrested Development series. Have you seen the trailer?
I didn't know she's in it.
She's in it.
Oh,
she's
great.
Well in it, and the trailer's got a great scene of her accosting Jason Bateman, which looks very funny. But that trailer just online, if you want to check it out. Looks like we have some good episodes to look forward to on the 26th of May when they all stream. All the episodes will be streaming all at once. You can catch them all at one sitting if you like.
Very cool.
And I suspect Chip will catch them all at once. I think
agree.
She'll just sit down and watch all 14 in a row.
She is a manic Arrested Development fan. I thought we were fans, but she's crazy about it. She's like the trivia queen, too. You can ask her anything about that show. She knows it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Iron Man 3, in its second week, made $72.5 million. Still good enough to make it number one. Great Gatsby, though, right behind it.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's right. Leonardo DiCaprio in The Great Gatsby. $51.1 million made it two at the box office. You know, Kevin can't make our show, but I bet you'll make the Kings game tomorrow night.
Oh,
You know that. He'll be there.
Interesting.
Yeah, I wonder why. Because he's a long-time fan, them. Pain and Gain, third at the box office. Tyler Perry presents Peoples in its debut weekend, $4.9 million, then 42. The Jackie Robinson biopic was number five. Oblivion, The Croods, The Big Wedding, Mud, and Oz the Great and Powerful, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. All I care about is Star Trek in the Darkness this weekend. That's all I can think about. You know, I get invited to all kinds of screenings all the time. Nothing from the Star Trek people.
Really? Yeah, I guess they don't need anyone.
Unless I missed it somehow. They don't need any press. That's true. But that dying dude, he got to see it. I'm not dying. Can I see it?
BS.
This is BS. I guess I'll have to pay. Hey, Kanye West. He's a big douchebag. Nothing made me happier the other day. I don't know if you saw him. He was being hounded by the paparazzi, and he was trying to get away from them. And inadvertently, because he wasn't paying attention, just slammed his head into a street sign. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, spectacular.
Got a big welt on his forehead.
I just hit it. I forget what the street sign was. I believe it was Douchebag Crossing. I think that's where he was trying to cross the street. Anyway, in case you missed it, I wanted to bring a little audio of Kanye flipping out on the photographers. Like it was their fault. That he didn't see where he was going and smashed his head into a street sign, but he has some choice words for the photographers.
Don't take another photo, man! Right, don't take another photo, man!
I just got here, homie!
Don't take no photos!
Okay.
Stop it!
Brother,
all of you motherfuckers!
man.
I just got here, brother. I just got here.
Leave the man alone, man.
Kanye, I just got here.
Leave the man alone.
You want me to leave? I'll leave, Kanye.
Jeez, photographer guy desperately to suck up to Kanye.
Kanye right. loves getting photographed, so you've got to see their confusion.
He doesn't like it after he smacks his head on a sign and he's really embarrassed. He doesn't want any photos of that. I thought that was awesome.
It is awesome.
I just got here, Holmes. I just got... Someone filled me in. I think I missed something. What happened?
Why didn't we play that for the Gregory Brothers when they were in earlier today?
Oh,
there's their next smash.
Yeah. Knocked that one out of the park. Donald Trump says his Celebrity Apprentice show has been renewed, even though the network, NBC, left it out of their announcement. In fact, the network said a decision on that show would be coming in the next few weeks. They were hemming and hawing, but Trump tweeted yesterday, I am pleased to inform you that Celebrity Apprentice has been renewed for another season by NBC. See you at the NBC Upfronts tomorrow. So, I guess we'll see later today if he shows up or not. But it wouldn't it be great if they canceled it and he was just saying
that
it,
awesome.
That it was on?
Be the best thing ever.
I know we're going to spend some time tomorrow talking about how the new fall schedule is shaping up, so many shows being canceled. Yes. But how shocked were you, Ralph, to see Community coming back for next year?
I was stunned.
Me too.
I mean, happy for Joel and the family over there, but I didn't think that was going to happen at all. Glad to see Whitney get the axe finally.
Well, mm-hmm. finally.
Yeah, finally, that was good.
But Southland.
Yeah. Oh,
but Southland, right?
People said, why aren't you talking more about it? Well, it happened, you know, last week, and I was gone, and I've sort of worked through my five stages of death with that show. But just, I knew it was coming. I guess that's why I wasn't that much of a surprise, but I was just shattered.
I felt like, and I could have been wrong, but I felt like it was 50-50, so I still was holding out hope that it was coming back. But apparently it was 100-0.
Yeah, it was bad news. So now it's left up to our own devices whether John Cooper survived or not at the end of that episode. We don't know. While we're talking about surprising television news, Fox confirms the fact that 24 will be returning to the network. It's going to be happening next summer as a limited series. 12 episodes will take Jack Bauer through and another adventure. Now, usually it's 24 episodes, each hour being an actual hour of his day. With 12 episodes, 2 hours will be 1 hour.
Right.
Sort of.
They should just call it 12. Just be done with it.
The series will pan out chronologically according to producers, but they will skip hours. Like, it'll be 9 a.m. on June 14th, and then 10 a.m. on June 14th. They'll kind of just jump through his day as opposed to showing you every minute of every hour.
Hey, a little bit of 24 is better than no 24.
That's right. I was surprised it's back. I'm glad to hear it. Of course, Touch was canceled. Kiefer Sutherland's other Fox show. So that frees him up to return as Jack Bauer. That's good news, right?
Yes.
Okay. Seth Meyers will be Jimmy Fallon's replacement for the NBC late night slot. So Jimmy Fallon, of course, will take over the Tonight Show. And then Seth Meyers will follow with the Late Show. Like Jimmy did behind Leno for all those years. Means Lorne Michaels, executive producer of SNL, of course, now owns Late Night over in the NBC.
Yeah.
He's got Monday through Friday and Saturday. If he's a Sunday night show, boom, he's got it all. But I think that's a good choice.
He seems to have good instincts. Yeah. I mean,
I think so.
As Ian pointed out earlier, we haven't seen him do all of the things that he's going to be required to do. But
that was Meyer's sort of strength on SNL, I thought, was. You didn't see him in a lot of sketches and stuff. Occasionally you'd see him in there, but he didn't do a lot of characters and things. He's mostly the funny guy behind the desk Weekend Update, which is kind of what he has to do as a talk show host. So we'll see.
I was reminded by a listener after our earlier conversation, Ralph, that Seth was one of the fill-in guys in rotation after Regis Philbin left his talk show.
Yeah, it's true.
And apparently did a great job hosting and interviewing, which are, you know, the two skills you mostly need to do a late-night talk show. So it sounds like he's been vetted.
And TMZ.com has photos of the backdoor teen mom, Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson?
That's right. At her local drugstore, buying what appears to be a pregnancy test. As if that isn't the most orchestrated photo op ever. She's so desperate. Yeah, she's buying a pregnancy test, leading us all to speculate, oh my goodness, did she get pregnant while she was filming her sex tape? Which is just a desperate attempt to increase sales, I'm sure, for her sex tape.
The sad thing is, she would get pregnant again just to get attention.
Of course she would. I'm sure she's working on it.
Yeah.
Of course, as being pointed out, given what she does in the sex tape, you really can't get pregnant that way. I guess you can. I mean, anything's possible. You know, you're supposed to wrap it from beginning to end, and there's no wrapping going on in that video whatsoever. So,
right.
She's also been seen photos of her making out with a porn actress named Riley Jensen at a hookah bar in Los Angeles. Just everything about that story is just disgusting. Kissing a porn star at a hookah bar, bleh. She's foul.
She's a delight.
She is. She's a delicate young flower, and I wish her the best. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lena Dunham. You know her from Girls over there on HBO. Speaking of HBO, did you catch Family Tree last night? The new Chris Guest series?
Watching it when I get home.
Boy. It looks like it's got a lot of potential. Very funny. Who's the cat from Bridesmaids who's the lead in it? The Irish guy?
Yeah.
Chris O'Dowd?
Yes, that's him. Yeah, he's great.
Great. And he's terrific in this, and the supporting cast is amazing. And good to see Michael McKean back again playing his dad.
Great cast.
Because he had that horrible accident in New York, remember? He was hit, but he looks like he's doing well. Robert Pattinson is 27 years old today. Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish fame is 47. Stephen Colbert from The Colbert Report is 49. Dennis Rodman's 52. Alan Ball celebrates his 56th birthday. Stevie Wonder is 63. And Harvey Keitel, legendary actor, 74 years old today. Don't see The Bad Lieutenant, though. It's a scary, disturbing, weird film. He's 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, speaking of Farrah Abrahamson, her co-star in her successful adult video, James Dean.
Jimmy Dean.
Joining us in studio tomorrow. What a fascinating, very bright young man.
I love Jimmy Dean's sausage, too. He's a
different, different guy.
It's so good.
Not really that different.
Have you seen his sausage?
Guy.
Huge sausage.
It is huge. Different
huge
kind of sausage.
Sausages for your breakfast pleasure.
Do you want extra sausage?
Yes, I do, Jimmy Dean.
You mentioned Mr. Trump's celebrity apprentice, Penn Jillette, is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow.
One of the finalists.
Going on.
Yes, he is. Down to two.
How adorable, and I know that word is overused when you're talking about Zooey Deschanel, but it's so appropriate. How awesome is she in everything she does?
She's adorkable.
She is adorkable.
That's what she is.
She is, of course, the new girl finale for the season is going to be tomorrow night, and she's going to be joining us tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got our friend Michael Schneider from TV Guide talking about all the cancellations and new shows. Looks like a very interesting fall season coming together. We'll talk to Mike about that from the Upfronts in New York. And I can't wait to play this tape for you. It's the closest we'll ever see to a soulmate for our own Kevin, and I think he's going to enjoy it very much. It's this woman's last day on the radio, and she is blasted.
Oh, nice.
And it sounds just like Kevin every day, yet they pulled her off the air after like a half an hour. They pulled her off. They wouldn't let her continue to do her show.
How judgmental.
Right?
We may not want to play that and give the management here any idea. We may be costing the man his job.
Well, it's my favorite new tape, so we've got that for you tomorrow. And another day, another chance for you to win your tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. That's all tomorrow, right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.